have a good day. Okay, so we're up to we are in the middle of these of the psukim of Yonas Tfila. Okay, Perek Dalit. We were learning the psukim of pasuk Aleph Beis and Gimel. Okay, we went through Aleph Beis Gimel. Yonas says it was Vayera Eliyona Ra'ah Gedolah, page 346, and then 436 and 438. And Vayemar Ana Hashem Halozad Devar Asher Hayosi Al Admosi Al Kain Kidamti Levrayach Tarshisha. I knew this would happen. I knew that you would forgive them, and that's why I ran away to Tarshisha. Ki Yodati Ki Ato Kel Chanan Vrachem Merchapayim Vrav Chesed Nidichem Al Ha. I knew you would forgive them. You would show compassion. And now Yonah asks for death. Vayato Hashem. Now Hashem Kachlos Nafshik Mimeniki Toivi Toiv Moisi Mechayoi. So we learned here most of the Mefarshim. Let's pick up with the Malbim. Okay, the Malbim, Pasuk Aleph, let's go back to Pasuk Aleph. Okay, on page 437. We already did, I think, in Mitzudos, Rashi, and the Radak. Let's see Pasuk, the Malbim, Aleph through Gimel. It gives a bit of a Hagdama. A Hagdama, page 437. Aleph through Gimel, the Pasuk here. Ma zeh chara liyoyne v'lo yoda zeis. The Malbim is asking a general question. What is Yoina so upset about? Why is he so disturbed that Hashem is willing to forgive these people? Shabavur zeh shalochai Hashem. Adarabah. Just the opposite. Yoina should be very pleased that Hashem is forgiving them. That would mean that his mission is a success. Why would a person be disturbed that he was successful? Kidei lahashivim, Hashem sent him to save them. B'shuvah, to do teshuvah. V'sha'al yidei kach tevutal ha'gezera. Next question. Uma ze sha'oma haloi ze divari ad heyosi al admosi. What is the meaning, the deeper meaning of these words? I've been saying this all along. While I was still on earth, meaning, as we learned before, Erev Shabbos, while I was, before I entered, went on the ship, while I was still on dry land, I said to myself, let me get out of here. Mabekach, so just repeating his question the second time. He has fulfilled his shlichus, his agency. But sad hayoisetoiv. Okay, he's done it. He's been a success. Shebehepuch, eis yelech hanavi b'shlichusoi. The om lo yoshav, if it had been the opposite. If the Navi would have gone on his mission and the people would not do teshuvah, we learn just the opposite in regard to Yeshaya. When Yeshaya says that Hashem, you sent me on a mission to influence the people to do teshuvah, and I have failed, and the people are not listening, so then Yeshaya said that's lorik. Loniga lorik v'lo neileid la behola. We say in every single day in davening that we misspotted our agency should not be for nothingness. Okay, Hashem has sent us to this world to accomplish something mysterious, some shlichus, and we mispal every single day. Lo niga lo rik v'lo neileid la behola. We should not be born for nothing. Niga toil lo rik for nothing v'lo neileid, and our existence, our birth should not be la behola. Just for nothingness. Another expression which means nothingness. Chaos. Okay, it should not be for no purpose. So we see from there that it's just the opposite. When the person is a failure is where these terms are correct. And yet here Yonah is successful and Yonah is using the same expression. Doesn't seem to fit the tab. So now, with those questions, Ramani now begins to give the answer. Pasuk Aleph, Vayeral, El Vayeral, Yoina, Perash, Rav, Yitzchak, Barbanel, Haro, Haneskeres, Pohu, Choyli. He says something that is very, very shocking. That over here, Yoina, Shebe Itzvoy, Liboy, Nofal, Vachola, Choyli, Vayvakesh, Moves. Yoina was clinically depressed. He was suffering from bipolar, suffering from schizophrenia, suffering from all of these horrible things that are out there today. And that's shocking what he says. There's no other way to explain Yoina's bizarre behavior. bizarre behavior of saying these things which don't make any sense, other than to say that Yonah over here is suffering from mental illness. Okay, mental illness. That's mamash what it says. Shabi savoy liba, he is depressed. Nafal, he has fallen. V'chola, choyli, he is ill. Vayivakesh moves, the first thing Rachman Lassan, they ask people who are suspected of having severe depression is, do you want to take your life? Have you had thoughts of suicide? Thoughts of bringing harm upon yourself? This is the first question Rachman Lassan, the doctor, asks the person who's brought to him who is in such a frame of mind. And it's exactly the symptoms over here jump out of Sukkim, indicating, yeah.
Seems like he's been in this mood the whole time, ever since we're introduced to Yonah. And I was wondering, maybe it's different for
Nebuah,
but
Shechina
doesn't appear unless the person is
in excellent. The Shechina does not appear in Chazal Sefi Simcha for Simcha. And many, many different examples of that that Hashem didn't speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov Avinu. So you're right, you're saying something very, very, very good. How could even Nebuah come upon Yonah if he is this sad? Let's see. Ulefi zeh sheyoyne chashav shloch toshav hagzera me'al me'alehem ad sheyoshuvu bein bein be'emunois v'deois. Yonah believed that the gzera would not be annulled unless they would turn in emuna v'deois. Bein, we turn over here to page 439. Bein b'masim, they have to change their actions, their behavior. V'heim lo yishav rak me'hamasim. K'mo shekos v'yar lo kibes masim kishavu. V'aden hechzikui be'avodah zaros. They still were idolaters. Even though for the moment they have stopped doing things, actions which are forbidden, but in their hearts and in their minds, nothing has changed. And in Yonah's understanding, there's no way in the world Hashem will rescind the gzera unless they are sincere. It's not enough to stop doing averos biyodayim. They have to have a change of heart and a change of mind, a change of attitude. And here the pasuk makes it clear the only thing that they did change was their deeds. Does not make any mention that they changed their mindset. And yet Yonah was shocked. Nicham Hashem al hara. Hashem rescinded the gzera. Now he's going back to what we said before. Okay, now he's taking a classic translation approach to what we learned before. Even though he started off on a new idea we've never heard before, to say that Yonah Navi is clinically depressed, a choli raw, to the degree where he is contemplating suicide. Now he's going back and he's telling us, well, the trigger for this sickness, which is something, again, is totally different, is because, like this classic, because now that Hashem indeed will forgive Nineveh, will forgive the kingdom of Ashur, they will be able to proceed and exile the Aseres HaShvatim, which in Yonah was a very great horror, that Klal Yisrael, 10 Shvatim, Klal Yisrael will come to an end, and that was the trigger for his severe clinical depression. This was within the Radak. And now he's sad because he is the cause. He is the Siba. He cannot live with himself for the rest of his life that he was the cause of this event. The Galgalin Zuchus Ali de Zakai, the Choiva Ali de Chayiv. Yonah is the Hashem's instrument in bringing about the exile of the Aseres HaShvatim. That sense of guilt is so great, he cannot live with himself. That makes sense. That's so hard to believe. That's why Yonah went and he was Moisir Nefesh. He was willing to die, not to have that guilt. This is also a new idea, is that Yonah disagreed with Hashem. Hashem, it's not enough just that they have stopped doing averos. If you really want to forgive them, they have to be sincere, and they are not. Therefore, how can you forgive them and allow them to continue to exist and thus exile the Aseres HaShvatim? Pasuk Beis, Halo Zeh Devarim, Vetzeinu Lomar, Oy B'Yosi El Al Aled Masi, Be'eretz Yisrael Tem Shalachti El Linvei Hoya Zeh Devari, while I was on dry land, similar to what we learned in the Radak, before I entered into the ship, I knew Oz She'ein B'datcha L'Havi Aleim Esara. I already had a sense that you, Hashem, were very willing to forgive them. V'nichamta Alecha, take it Be'es HaGzera Mitzad HaChanina V'Ha'arocha Sapayim. I knew, Hashem, even from the very first moment when you issued the Gzera, that due to your nature of being kind, gracious, forgiving, you will forgive them. Af shelo yasu teshuva k'roi, even if they would not do a full teshuva, sharei heim lo asu teshuva al chet avoy dezara uvechol zos lo hevei salei mesara b'nei shenicham tal ha'ra meyaz u'lechein, and therefore. Therefore, balila kala bitalta es hagzera, therefore for the first excuse possible, you have cancelled the gzera. V'yalkein kidamti livroyach Tarshisha. That's why I've chosen to run away to Tarshisha. I did not run away because I thought they would do teshuva. I didn't run away because he's now giving us a very fascinating insight. The reason why I ran away is not because I didn't want to do my shlichus. If I would have known that you, Hashem, are playing with the full deck of cards, isn't that nasty to say? Then I would have done my shlichus. It's only because I know, Hashem, you're not. You're not fair. I mean, isn't that what it says? If I would know that you will only forgive them if they will be sincere in their teshuva, then I'll work for you. Then I'll go on a mission that they should do teshuva 100% with their heart and minds and their ma'asim. But because I knew in advance that you're willing already to forgive them, even if they change their ma'asim and they're not going to do teshuva sincerely, so therefore, you know, I don't want to work for such an institution. I don't want to work only for someone that's 100%. Shocking what he writes here in the Malbim. Ritzon Lomar, Shalom Rechti Yom Nisha Chashafi Shiyasu Teshuva Kuroi. Shaz Lo Hayisim Esod of Alechas B'Shlichas Lo Hashem Toyim Minei Derech. I would never go and defy a direct order if the goal was, if you were really willing to forgive, they would demand of them to be sincere. Rak Mimnei Shiyodati Sha'af Shiyishadu Oivdeat Sabim. The worshippers of Atzabim is the name of an idol. And Otsef, sad things, which brings person sadness. Loi sashchisem, alkein loi rotzisi leleches bishlichus. I refuse to go on such a shlichus. Pasuk Gimel, v'yata Hashem, acha shachem lo yasu teshuva v'chol zois nisharu v'yeshev maridus lishol kaches navshik b'shani garamti zois. Guilt! Okay, he's coming back over here, as I said before, in Mitzudois and others, guilt. So sach hakol, what do we take out of the Malbim? We take out of the Malbim, I think, at least three major chidushim. Number one, the Malbim says that Yonah, this whole event triggered what we would call today clinical depression. Okay, that's what he says. A choyli, this whole sequence of events made him sick. It made him sick, and his behavior, therefore, oynis rachmana patre, this behavior was not a premeditated halachic behavior that was based upon the rules of Shulchan Aruch, based upon hashkafa, calculated. That's not what's happening over here. It's nothing more than a person who is locked up in a mental institution and wants to commit suicide, and he's put in a room with padding, should not hurt himself. Why? He's clinically depressed. Why? Because of guilt. Because he now realizes he is going to be the Siba of the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. 10 tribes of Klal Yisrael are going to be wiped off the face of the earth. How will he ever face the Olam HaEmes Yaakov Avinu, who brought into this world the Shiftei Ka? What? Gaiva? Why Gaiva? What do you mean? But why me? Why should I be the one on record who was the one that had a hand in allowing this to happen? Take someone else to do this. What? So what? I don't want to be the messenger. I don't want to be the messenger. In China, I know. So he's saying that's the other point we made over here. That's not what he calls success. Okay, the second chiddush of the Malbim is this is not what he calls success. He's over here, he's complaining that this is not fair. This is not what has been taught in yeshiva. In yeshiva they taught him when you do teshuva, you have to be sincere. And they are not sincere. They are refraining from doing averos, but in their hearts and minds, Laman tefos es b'nei Yisrael b'libam. Pasuk says when it comes to avodah zarah, it all depends upon the machshav in your heart. Therefore, that's number two. They're not sincere. So this whole thing is illegal. This activity of Hashem, he has to complain. Like, no, we always think about tzaddik v'raloi. There's something even here more fundamental. Hashem, you're not following your own rules. Forget about tzaddik v'raloi. That's something which we don't relate to. But here, there's a rule of teshuva. There's a technique. There's a hilchos. Open up the Ramban. And what it says in the Rambam, how you do teshuvah, you're not following what it says in the Rambam, what it says in the guidebook. Okay, that is his second major chiddush, and what was the third chiddush? I already forgot. The third chiddush was that Yonah, he comes to explain that two and three together. That's the reason why Yonah refused to go on the mission. We've been searching for this answer long ago. We've already given 10 answers. But now we have a new answer. We have a new answer to the age-old question, how could Yonah disobey a direct order of Hashem? And the answer is because he has a complaint that this is not correct. I only will obey orders that are true, to the cause. You know, in fact, it goes back to not that long ago, and it's always in Eretz Yisrael where the army tells the soldiers to do things which they believe are not halachically correct. The disengagement from Gaza, going back a number of years ago. So this is a big, big topic of discussion in all the news media. And there were a lot of Haredim who were in the army. And hard to say this from police, it's a word expression, but people that were shomer Torah mitzvos and did not believe that it was halachically valid to give up land, to give up land to the Palestinians. They felt it was a sakana, and they disagreed in halachic principles with what the army was doing. Okay, yesh v'yesh, you can debate that. But let's say there was definitely a group of people, and there's a very big topic of discussion, are we mechuyif to follow orders? Okay? Are we mechuyif to follow orders when something that's being done we feel is halachically not correct.
That's man-made.
What?
That's a man-made order. This is
God's order. So here, Kol Shekain. Kol Shekain. So Madach, when Yonah is a Navi, and Hashem is telling him to do something which is halachically invalid, go is the Rambam.
Who makes
the halachas? The Rambam makes the halachas. Torah lavashamayim hi. I'm not joking. Torah la b'ashamayimi. The Rambam makes the halachas. Okay, the halachas of tshuva are you have to be sincere. Hashem, you're giving me orders that are halachically incorrect.
No, but Hashem knows when a person is sincere. Nobody can say he is sincere.
Well, Yon over here is making it out loynit neter lemalachei hasharis, and from our perspective, they're not sincere. I mean, there are telltale signs. There are simonim lufhakim to determine if a person is sincere. Yonah delivers the message, and the people, okay, they stop, they put on the sackcloth, they don't eat, but there are simonim lufhakim that they're not sincere.
But they were certainly better than the way...
Of course they were better, of course.
So this is all up to Hashem. He can't...
That's not what it says in the Rambam. Okay, I'm making up the Rambam, but you understand what I'm saying. That's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, in order for the gzeirah to be rescinded, there must be a degree of sincerity. The heart, the mind, and the meisim. Three parts. Yonah over here, it's clear as day to Yonah. They are not sincere. It's a temporary halt. So Hashem, you're telling me to do something which is halachically invalid. I don't have to follow orders. Even from you, Hashem. Okay, it's a shocking thing to say, but that's exactly what the Malam is not on the page over here because he's just coming to pat us in the back. He's coming to shake us up. And the Malam over here is saying shocking chidushim, And it's very interesting that this Yonah has a right to disobey a direct order. I'm not telling you to do this, but years ago, and there are always situations in Eretz Yisrael where there are soldiers who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, Yirei Shemayim, and they're being told by their commanding officer to do things which they feel are not halachically valid. So they are put in a dilemma, is that their loyalty is to Hashem, is to the halacha, as Torah Jews, and yet they're being told to do things which they feel is not correct. Where do you draw the line? How do you balance that juggling act? And here Yonah is finding himself in the exact situation, exponentially more complex, due to the fact that the order is coming from Hashem, and Hashem is telling him to do it clearly, or at least in his mind, shaloi kehalacha. Okay, so how do we deal with this? And the Malm says this in essence is what triggered a clinical depression. He's losing his mind. He's losing his mind, and he's saying things over here which don't make it. This whole prayer, he takes this whole prayer, and he says this is not serious. You can strike this from the text. This is off record. These psukim that we've just read according to the Malm, that's really what it means. It's off the record. Everything that Yon over here says he's not held accountable for. Because he's a choila, he's a sick person. He's asking to die. We listen to the whole shir. Ganz shir about there's a time when you can be mispalel to die. Right? Remember that? You can die. Melech meinis umichaye. There's a time in life when it's the proper thing to be mispalel to die. How could you say such a thing? Chaye shah. Everything we know about life, the gift of life. No. You see, from Yonah, you taka see. He's a Navi. Here it is in Sefer Yonah, one of the prophets. You see, there's such a thing to pray to die. Malm says, nothing doing. Whether there's an inyan to pray to die or not, that's not our topic. Don't include this in the discussion, because this is a statement from a sick person. A person who is locked up in a mental institution, who is suffering from depression. So it says, it's not part of the conversation. I'm not making this up. He writes over here that Shabit Savoin, so he says, Harahan, it says, Pohu Choyli. He's a sick person. Shabit Savoin, Levi Nafal, Vacholel Choyli, Vivakish Moves. He's a Choyla. Don't hold his word, don't take his word seriously. Isn't that a shocking thing? And the trigger is guilt. Guilt. And what's the guilt? The guilt is I'm going to be the cause of the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. And what is the background to this whole thing which is so disturbing? You're asking me to do something that is Shaloi Kehalacha. Teshuva needs sincerity. Here you're willing to forgive them without sincerity. This doesn't make any sense. I have to disobey a direct order even from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Torah Lav HaShamayim. Touched upon in a few lines over here, Mamash, more than you learn your whole life. In Hashkafa. It's amazing how much is concentrated here into just a few words of the Malbim. All of these amazing ideas. You say this in life.
May I say something?
Sure.
Hashem also says to Hashem something like that.
Horgeinu Haroyik. This is Parsha. This is Parsha. Hargeinu Haroyik. So that's right. So, but there, no, I don't recall anyone saying that Moshe was a choyler. I don't recall any. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Different.
What?
Different idea.
Different, right? There. Also, I mean, I heard someone on Shabbos talking. He didn't give an answer. I just remember he was talking. He was saying, "What's this nut Hargeinu? Hargeinu has a connotation of a violent death.
Right.
Yonah here is more delicate. Yonah says, "Kachnos nafshi mimeni." Let me lie down and just peacefully expire. Moshe says, Horeini, Hargeini, no Horeik. It's like, ooh, what's that all about? Okay? And who's the one that's a Choyla? Yoyin is the Choyla. Moshe, no one that you never heard, ever. Not that I know of, to say that Moshe was a Choyla, but it's a Voin, he's not held accountable. I don't know. It's a good question. Very difficult. These are mam's devarim ho'oimdim beruma shaloylam. What do these things mean? I have no clue. But what's going on? But this
attributed to burnout. That's in a way.
But Moshe is not the one that we can say got burned out. Moshe is the manikador. I don't know what to say, but this is something which the Maam really, he opens up this topic, he opens up the sugya very, very wide. Let's look at this one short little medrash, Maim Chazal on bottom, Shomaim Chazal on Pasuk Beis, on page 439, Ki ato kel chanun v'rachum hu erach apayim v'rach chesed v'nicham ala ra, Rabbi Shimon Omer, hevizor b'kriya shema b'tfila, a person should be nizor in kriya shema and tfila, v'sha'ata mispa'la al tasa tfila s'cha keva. El rachamim v'sachanunim, lefnei amokoyim baruch hu, shenemer ki kel chanun v'rachum hu erach apayim v'rach chesed v'nicham ala ra. So it's fascinating that from all the different Maimori Chazal, Psukim and Tanakh, the Chazal can use to select probably many candidates to express that a person when he davens not to make his tefila keva. What does it mean keva? Maybe that's exactly the point over here. What is keva? It's not so easy to translate that word. Keva means lip service. Routine. It's just routine. Good, routine. Routine. Wrote every...
Just go through the motions.
Go through the motions. You just go through the motions,
habit,
lip service, mitzvahs, anoshim, milimuda, pasuk in Mishlei. What a person does out of milimuda, what he's been taught to do, accustomed to do, but it has no real meaning. It has no sincerity. It's not rachman. From all of the psukim in the entire Tanakh, I don't think this would be the top of your list. To use as a source that a person should be sincere, and yet Chazal, in their ultimate infinite wisdom, have selected this very pasuk that we have just learned to be the top pasuk to teach you this principle. When we learned the Malbim, it makes a lot of sense. Because the Malbim says this was Yonah's, it makes a lot of sense. It really opens up the Chazal wide open. Because this bothered him so much that he became clinically depressed. This bothered him that the people here are not sincere. The people here are just vayar elokim es ma'aseihem. See, you have to have the background to appreciate this pasuk. The previous perek in Perek Gimel, pasuk Yud on page 436, it says vayar ho elokim es ma'aseihem. Hashem saw their deeds, and that's it. They did not sincerely repent. And this is exactly what Yonah is coming to complain about. Ribbono shel Olam, this is not fair. This is not the way it works. Just because there's lip service, their tefillah is keva, it's become routine. They put on the sackcloth and they shuckle and it all looks nice on the outside. But inside, it's empty. It's empty. Then, it's not fair. These are not the rules. You cannot possibly forgive them.
Puts into perspective why you say Yonah right before Nila.
Right. Exactly. Another idea. Sincerity, and therefore this was so disturbing. It justifies. He's using this to justify his defiance. Vayoymar, Ona Hashem Haloi Zedivariad Al Ad Heyosi Al Ad Masi. Okay, he's justifying here his defiance, why he did not go on the mission, because he knew that Hashem is not being fair, because it's not the way it works, and I'm so depressed, I want to die. So what do we learn from this? Ad Kidekach, how important it is that it's just not enough to be a tefillah and rachamim bekeva, a bakasha for rachamim to be bekeva, to be without sincerity, just to be routine, to just go through the motions, mitzvahs anoshim alimuda, without the degree of sincerity. We see how far it goes specifically from this pasuk. So adarabba, there could not be a better pasuk in the entire Tanakh to illustrate this principle than what we have just learned over here. If you don't read the Malbim, the way the Malbim types the pasuk, this Maimon Chazal is a very, very hard Maimon Chazal to appreciate. Because why this pasuk? There are so many pasukim which seem to indicate that a person has to go to be with the program. But here there's much, much more going on. This pasuk has been used to explain why Yonah defied Hashem, why Yonah is clinically depressed. And because you can't have such a thing in this world of mitzvahs anashim milimuda, where a person just goes through the motions, makes believe everything is fine and good, and deep down there is no sincerity, there's no real value, there's no real meaning in your behavior.
Harry Kaplan in his tefillah, the reason for tefillah, he says, is God wants to see what you're willing to do for yourself. In other words, I give you the opportunity for tefillah. Are you going to use it? In other words, I want to hear you scream. I want to hear you yell at me. I want to hear you say something. And of course, then you believe in me. In other words, you think I'm the person who can handle it. But don't just go through the motions. I want to see what you're willing to do. You want to help yourself? Here's your opportunity.
Exactly.
Maybe this is why God didn't get away with it.
This is why
God let Yonah get away with it.
Maybe
you're sincere.
Interesting, right. Could be, okay. An interesting point. That's why Hashem, why did Hashem tolerate this? Why was the rebellion tolerated? Because Hashem is saying, you know, you're right. You got a good point. You do have a good point. You're saying very good. All right, let's go forward. We'll leave out the Gra. Wait, let's do Beit Bach. We like to do Beit Bach. I'm sorry. We do Beit Bach and the Chida, and the Chida really goes into. Let's wait for the Chida, because the Chida goes into later on with the fish, the kikoyim, not the fish, the kikoyim. Okay, this tree. We'll wait for a little bit. And Rabbeinu Bachya, let's take a look at Rabbeinu Bachya just a little bit, very quickly. Page 437. Back on page 437, by Yeira El Yoina Kishloy Niskaimo Nevuasoi, Yoina was very upsetting. I remember Rabbeinu Bachya has a very dark, his theme has always been the dark side. The dark side of what's going on here. And Yonah, in his understanding, very different than the Malbim, came way, way before the Malbim, Rabbeinu Bachya. He learns that Yonah was very disturbed that his nevuah did not come true. Yonah was hoping that they would be destroyed. Yonah delivered a prophecy that Nineveh would be obliterated. And he sees now that it's not going to happen anytime soon. That's why Vayera El Yonah Ra'o Gidoylo Vayichar Lo, he was furious. By Yispalel Hashem.
Rashi said before that he'd be seen as a
Nevi'ah Shepherd. Right. Okay. Right. But Rashi said more than Rabbeinu Bachya. Rashi said the focus of his anger, of his disturbance, reflected on himself. Ani reflected that I am now going to have a legacy. It's also dark. What is selfish? It's all about him. I'm going to have a legacy now of being a Navi Sheker. I have a reputation. I have children Shaduchim. I want to have a good reputation. So now I come to Nineveh, I make an announcement on the front page of the New York Times that Nineveh in 40 days will be obliterated. There's an asteroid that's on target to wipe this place off the map. 40 days pass, nothing happens. So the newspaper says, Yonah is a fraud. Yonah is a fraud. So Yonah's reputation sinks. So now, where is he going to make Parnassah? How is he going to get a job? What's going to be with Shaduchim for his children? What's going to be this whole life work? So by Yera, Rashi, in a way, it's very disturbing. It turns into a very selfish approach. Someone told me on Shabbos, Mei Shabbos, why do we say every morning, wake up in the morning, Moideh Ani Lefonecha? Why don't we better say, Ani Moideh Lefonecha? He's trying to tell me that grammatically it's better to say, Ani Moideh Lefonecha than Moideh. I'm not so sure about that. Okay, I'm not talking dik-tuk, but I'm not convinced that statement is correct. That grammatically it would have been proper to say ani moideh lefonecha. I'm not so sure, but forget it. We don't need that. We don't need to come on to that. Just in general, moideh ani lefonecha. The answer is pashut. You don't start off the day with ani. Okay, the day does not begin with I. That's not the way a Jew wakes up in the morning. The first thing you're going to say in the morning, it's all about me. Ani. Oh yeah, you also Hashem. Modeh lefonech, I thank you. You have to say right away, the focus is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rashi here is putting the emphasis on Yonah. Yonah is disturbed. He will now go down in history as a Navi Sheker. You want to make a positive twist out of this? You want to say, no, Yonah is a Navi Hashem. If Yonah goes down there, then it's a Chil Hashem for Hashem. I get it. But the Rabbeinu Bachya doesn't go, he just says, stop. Yonah was very disturbed that the nevuah did not come true. And in Rabbeinu Bachya, you learn very simply, like Malbim and like the Radak and like the Mitzudos, like we learn everything until now, is that Yonah, in the worst way, did not want Nineveh to survive, because that would mean there would be a galus of the Aseret HaShvatim. He did not want that to happen. And the only way to nip it in the bud is to get rid of this nation, Nineveh, because they were the only ones at this point in time, al derech ha-teva, that would be able to exile the Aseret HaShvatim. So let's nip it in the bud. And now that he sees that it's not happening anytime soon and Nineveh is going to survive, that's going to automatically mean that they're going to proceed with the galus of the Aseret HaShvatim. It's nothing personal. You don't have to make it personal. So why did Rashi make it personal? I don't know. But Rabbeinu Bach and others don't make it personal. Kishaloi niskaima nivuasai. Base.
The way Rashi words it, the other nations will say that he's a Jewish prophet. He's a false Jewish prophet.
Right. I just said that. I get that. But
so it doesn't become personal.
Okay, that's already a bayer. That's already. Why don't Rashi say it just like that? I agree with you. It's not possible that Yonah didn't selfish here. It's not possible. But it's interesting. I don't have an answer. It's interesting. Why don't Rashi just say what you just said? That it's gonna be Chil Hashem. Yonah represents the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Jewish prophets, and he's saying something which is which now turns out to be a lie, sheker, and now it's the Chil Hashem. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi. Achshav Yom Humay She'ani. The Umos, so the whole world.
Rashi could have just said,
"Rashi goes, you can play with it. You're right. Rashi, it's a mixed bag. Rashi still has that word there, the I word. Sha'ani. Why? It's not personal. This is not a personal matter. A Navi is Shluchei D'Rachmana. If the Kohanim are Shluchei D'Rachmana, Nevi'im are Shluchei D'Rachmana. It's not personal. Achshav Yoymuhu Umos Sha'ani, I am a Nevi HaShaker. It's not that you... It's that now the goyim will no longer have faith in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the Am HaNivchar, so Yonah is the representative. I understand what you're saying. You have to say that, but other Rishonim didn't use those words. They just said Vayera Hadavim Ma'oid. They express it. Maybe there's something more to it. Maybe there is some personal thing which we're lacking. There's more depth in the. Why Rashi emphasizes something personal here. We were not living in the times. One thing is for sure, if we were living in these times, it would be a whole different story. The information, the devil is in the detail. Okay, if we were living in the time, everything would be different. Everything is like that. Megillah asks, how many Sfarim have you come across, and they tell you to read the Megillah, you got it all wrong. You got the whole thing all wrong. You have to understand whose perspective the Megillah has been written. Someone actually told me, Rabbi Nechemia, he sends regards to you all. Rabbi Nechemia, Crystal. So he now is in two koilim. He graduated. He goes to two morning koilim in Teaneck, okay? He's in Teaneck now. So he travels. There's the YU... started a morning koilo. YU, Yeshiva University, has a branch in Teaneck. That's where their core, okay, their core members are in Teaneck, and they've started a morning koilo, which he attends, and then he goes there sometimes, and then he has another koilo that he likes to go to somewhere else. He drives a half an hour, another koilo. So I think the one in Teaneck, they have phenomenal speakers. Every day they have a different darshan. They bring in people. And there was one fellow, he told me the whole shit, one fellow gave a show, Megillas Esther. It's an incredible, incredible chidusha of Megillas Esther. And he told me just that you got the Megillah all wrong. You're reading the Megillah from the wrong perspective. I don't remember all the details, but he says, basically the Megillah is being read. Chazal wrote the Megillah from the perspective of Achashverosh. We normally, when you read a Sefer, read Yonah, from whose perspective are you looking at it? Are you looking at it from a Jewish perspective? From a non-Jewish perspective? From the perspective of a Navi? From the perspective of the Anshei Knesset HaGedoyla? That's why it's so critical. Chazal tell us who wrote. They want to know who wrote all of the books. Who wrote Sefer Shmuel? Did Shmuel write it? Not Mustafa. Who wrote Sefer? Who? I don't remember all the details. Who wrote Sefer Yehoshua? Who wrote Sefer Yonah? Who's the author? Who is the author? The Gemara says. I don't remember what the Gemara says. There's a major difference. Who wrote it? Because the one who wrote it, they're giving you, Pshutai, their perspective. Well, that's your perspective on the story. But history is all a matter of who's writing history.
But it's all written by Ruach HaKodesh.
It's written by Ruach HaKodesh, but Ruach HaKodesh allows it to be written with Ruach HaKodesh. It also allows it to be written from a certain perspective. Ayin panim l'Torah. Ein shnei neviim misnabim b'signon echot. Who wrote each sefer? It's very important. Chazal tell us who wrote each sefer. Now, here's the bigger trick. Here's the bigger alumnus. Even if it's written, let's say it's written from my perspective. Let's say I'm going to write, tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story. But when I'm going to write the story, I'm going to try my hardest to write it from someone else's perspective. That makes it super duper complex. Because it's not just my interpretation of the story. It's my interpretation of someone else's interpretation of the story. You understand how complex that is? So let that person tell you his perspective. No, you be quiet. I want to tell you what you are really thinking. Who are you to tell me what I'm thinking? Well, because you don't know how to express yourself like I can. And you do. What gives me the right to go express a story from your perspective?
Right.
That makes it even more complex and more bizarre. It's already bizarre to say something from your perspective. What about Hashem's perspective? What about this one's perspective? Who has the right perspective? Who's to say? Maybe everyone is right. Everyone has. So why did the Tanakh had to be written from one person's perspective? Okay, Torah Shebichsav Moshe Rabbeinu. He wrote, that's hands down. Moshe Rabbeinu, is it really, let's take a step, did Moshe Rabbeinu really write the whole Torah? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Torah, he transmitted the whole Torah, but who authored it? So Chazal, Hashem, every single word was put down, b'diyuk by the Ribbono Shel Olam, I assume that to be the case. But yeah, Chazal say it was given in Megillois.
Right.
Does that mean that there are sections that Hashem gave us, and Hashem wrote it from the perspective of Avraham Avinu, of Adam HaRishon? When Hashem, Torah Shebichsav is sacred beyond belief, right? Beyond, that's like a whole different league by itself. It's Mila B'Mila from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, granted, it's divine. But when Hashem transmitted it to Moshe Rabbeinu, did Hashem write it from his perspective? Or did Hashem write sections of Maisa Bereshis, of Tanakh, of Chamisha Chumshei Torah? Did Hashem write it from the perspective of the Avos? Did Hashem write it from the perspective of Moshe Rabbeinu? Did Hashem write it from the perspective of Adam HaRishon? I don't know. What does that mean? Oh, okay, that's one approach. Einochanami, maskin. That's one approach. But yet we do find, I'm not going there because I know nothing about this, I know zero, but there's something called Bible criticism, all apikorsis, it's all kula apikorsis, but even though it's apikorsis, they have some points. They do make points which need to be addressed. They make points that there is certain type of inconsistency in style. So darshanim come along and they explain to us. But darshanim, they explain just points. They don't necessarily explain the big picture. And Chazal allude to the fact that Tanakh is written, Chamisha Chumshei Torah is written in different perspectives because they write Megillos, Megillos, Nitna. They call each section of Chamisha Chumshe Torah a Megillah. A Megillah? There's only Chamish Megillos. How can you go write Chamisha Chumshe Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a Machloikis, how exactly was the Torah put it down? Did Hashem give Moshe Rabbeinu in one shot? Bang! It was just one shot, came down, all Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Or, no, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu a Megillah. Okay, here's one Megillah. And Moshe put in writing, put it aside. And then there was another Megillah. And then there was another Megillah. And there was another Megillah. All Min Hashem. It's a Chazal, I'm not making this up. And then Moshe just put all the Megillahs, he put it together. Now when you say that, that changes everything. That means if Hashem is giving the Torah Megillahs, Megillahs, Nitna, that lends itself to a possible understanding where Hashem gave us the Torah, but Hashem deliberately, when Hashem wrote the Torah, each Megillah, each section, however you want to define Megillah, which we have no way of knowing where it starts and where it ends, each Megillah, with a different approach. And what does it mean, a different approach? From a different perspective. Whatever that can possibly mean. So here...
Excuse me, how do you interpret that 2000 before Kiryat HaOlam, the Torah was written.
Ruach HaKodesh by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoya, Hoyve, V'yia, time is all one, everything's the same. Hoya, Hoyve, V'yia, that's a sub. This is, I have no idea how to answer because I don't know anything about this. This is Nevuah, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's secrets, the Nestoros. In any event, Yonah over here, who wrote Sefer Yonah? Did Yonah write it? When Yonah wrote it, is he writing it from his perspective? Is he writing it from someone else's perspective? Megillas Esther. Chazal say Esther. That's why it's called Megillas Esther. She wrote it.
Well, she forced the writing.
So now you say something totally different. Okay? Her name is on it. Why is her name on it? Does that mean that she wrote it? Or does it mean that she twisted someone else's arm that it should be written?
Right.
But when it was written, from whose perspective was it written? So we assume Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh that more it's written from her perspective, the perspective of Mordechai, from the perspective of the Anshei Knesset Hagedola, from the perspective of the people that were living in those times. Is that correct? Maybe when they wrote the Megillah. We're writing the Megillah. We're going to tell the story. If you want us to tell you the story, we have a very different story to tell you.
They wrote it while Ahasuerus was king. That's why it doesn't say Hashem's name.
That's not. There are many reasons why it doesn't say Hashem's name. But let's put that aside. From whose perspective are they telling you the story? It's a very different story than who won World War II. Okay, you know,
when I was a kid and I went to Montreal and I was reading a history book in Canada about the American Revolution, we were laughing, me and my sister were laughing ourselves silly because you would think that we were a bunch of lunatic renegades who started up with the Malchus.
It's
and
all.
It gives a total different perspective on the American Revolution.
Who said they were?
I'm just saying, but that's what it, that was a Canadian.
Exactly.
Every country history book was very different.
If you read the history of World War II from France, yeah. It's ridiculous what they wrote. It was such a
who says it's ridiculous? Maybe they're right.
De Gaulle, he had to change the whole history. It was so humiliating what they did. I mean,
Winston Churchill's famous line is that history will be very kind to me because I will write the history.
Exactly. This is a very big issue when you're dealing here. You look at the Mamari Chazal. What does it mean? Vayera el yoyna ra'o gedoyla vayichar loy. Rashi, as you mentioned, he says, it's all about me. Achshav yoyim huma sh'ani nevi ha-sheker. Who says this is about you? Who cares? What is going on here in this? I don't have an answer. Okay? We just learned the Malbim. The Malbim says, has nothing to do with Yonah. It's not about Yonah. Yonah was upset. It's guilt. It's a matter. I don't care what the world's going to say. Yonah is clinically depressed because there's guilt. I can't live a life knowing that I'm the one that's going to be the cause of the galus of the Aseret HaShvatim. Okay, going back over here, going back to the Rabbeinu Bachya pasuk base. Vayispalel Hashem ve'ena tefila zois mitam ba'kosha sarachnim. The tefila. Now here's the kasha. The kasha over here is that we're not dealing here. Tefila normally is used in reference to rachanim. Rachanim. This is not about a bakosha of rachanim. The ena tefila zois mitam. We had last week. We discussed it, but the clincher was I want to die. So we discussed. Wow, tefila is about dying. So yeah, that's right. That's the way. Isn't that what our doc said? It's all about dying. And according to the Malbum doesn't even address the issue because according to the Malbum, William Lai, we didn't even explain there is no tefila. Yoni here is a sick person. He's choyle. So there is no tefila. There is no tefila, period. So what's the word vayispalel doing here? Doesn't even answer the questions. I don't know the answer. Here the Rabbeinu Bachya says, what's the tefila? Ve'ein ha-tefila ha-zois mitam ba-koshas rachamim. You're right. There is no prayer. This is not the way the word prayer is going to be used. Rather, it's mean judgment. Vayispalel, Yonah is judging Hashem. Okay, talk about Apikursus. Yonah is the din and the dayan, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is the defendant. He's on the stand. Shocking things to say. Okay, but this is what, I'm not making this up here. This is what it says over here. V'ein ha-tzvila ha-zois mitam ba-koshas ha-rachmim. Ere they taught in yeshiva about the word tzvila is wrong. It doesn't always mean that you're going to pray with rachamim. Please have pity upon us. Ki miloshen pililim. Judgment. Yonah is judging Hashem. Our enemies judge us. Vayipalel, he judged. Sheshoal tefila milufnei ha-mokoyim. He asked tefila. Now, I don't know how to translate those words. Let's see how he explains a little more. Sheshoal tefila milufnei ha-mokoyim. He made a request, a judgment request. What does that mean exactly? What does that mean exactly? Let's see. Vayoymar, he said. Rabbeinu Bachya, going to the next page 439 towards the top. Okay, towards the top under the Ibn Ezra. Haloi zed divari. Ki ayisi yodea, I was well aware, ki atoi kel chanav rachamu b'mnei shiodati ze alken, ki damti livroyach tarshisha, I ran to Tarshish, I fled, I defied a direct order, uvatachti b'midoy secha, ila hatoivos v'arichus apcha, v'goydel rachamecha, sha'ato ta'avir al chatosi, v'loi ta'ani sheni. Now, he says here a big chiddush at the end half, but it doesn't really seem to connect to the beginning. His end is, he's making a request. Okay, he's making a request. It's not a tefila, but he's saying, "I'm asking for a pardon. I mean, I'm going to defy a direct order. I'm going to defy a direct order. You're telling me what to do, and I know because you're so kind, you're so gracious, you will let me get away with my defiance of you. That because indeed, everyone until now." All the commentators until now assume that this expression was in reference to Ninveh. Oh, Hashem, however you want to learn. Oh, Hashem, I knew that you would forgive the wicked people of Ninveh for the terrible aver of Chomos. The Rabbeinu Bachya says, nothing doing. Hashem, I knew you would forgive me for not listening to you. You told me what to do, and I defied you. And the reason why I defied you was because I have confidence that you're going to forgive me. And that goes against everything we know in Shulchan Aruch. Everything we know in Shulchan Aruch is the person that says, Echte, I will do an Avera, and I will do Teshuvah. So Chazal say, you'll never have an opportunity to do Teshuvah. Forget about, will Hashem forgive you? Hashem will certainly not forgive you. Ho'oimer Echeto, ein maspikin biyodoi la'asois Teshuvah. A person sits down to do an Avera, and he says, listen, Yom Kippur is in a long time from now. I've got plenty of time. By the time it comes around, I'll hate for what I'm about to do. Sasha, you have such a horrible attitude. Not only will I not forgive you, I will not even give you the opportunity for you to do teshuva. You'll be so busy running to work and doing this and doing that, you won't be able to daven with a minyan, daven altogether with a presence of mind, with a clarity of mind, where you'll even ask, even think about asking forgiveness for what you're about to do. But it's exactly what it says here in the pasuk. Yonah is doing. Yonah is now, Hashem told him, I have a mission for you. And Yonah says, Vayispalel. Yonah is not coming to ask for mercy. Yonah is coming, he's making a statement. He's making a judgment. He's judging himself, so to speak. He's doing an analysis. Listen, Hashem asked me to do something. I know that Hashem has rachamim, so I know Hashem will forgive me for my stubbornness and my rebellion. Now, that's not a novel way to look at this pasuk, but I don't know what is. But that's how we learn Shah in this pasuk. The focus is on himself, and it's not a real prayer. It's an analysis of Hashem's rachamim, of what he wants to do, and knowing that he's going to get away with it. I'm going to proceed to do what I want to do because Hashem will allow me to get away with it, because that's the nature of Hashem. It's like a child and a father. A child knows, my father told me not to do it, but my father's a nice guy. I know that when I'll go and I'll do whatever I want, he'll come home, he'll say, I told you not to do it, but it's okay.
Forgiveness is a lot easier than reshus.
What?
To get forgiveness for something you do wrong is a lot easier than getting permission.
Look, we had that in the more talks that we built. Baba Ben Buta, he told Hordas. Hordas was just a pawn in the hands of the Caesar of Rome. And Baba Ben Buta, when he did teshuva, so Baba Ben Buta, when he wanted to do teshuva, he said to Hordas, said to Baba Ben Buta, what could I do to do teshuva? So Baba Ben Buta says, so build the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the Or, you blinded the Or, the Talmidei Chachamim, so restore the Beis HaMikdash. I can't, I need permission. I need a permit from New York City. That's impossible to get a permit to build, to do construction. So he told him, don't try this today, but he told him, just build it, and when they'll find out about it, just apply for the permit, and in the meantime, proceed with the construction, and if they don't give you the permit, just make believe you didn't know, whatever, just fake it. Just fake it out. So that's what he did. He went and he illegally built the Beis HaMikdash while he applied for the permit, and by the time the permit, they got it, but they told him, don't you dare, and if you already did it, you're in trouble. But he already did it. It's the same exact thing. I mean, that's over here. What Yonah is doing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not asking for permission. He's doing it. And he's hoping that Hashem's not going to get upset with him. And that's how he learned Pshat in the Pasuk. Okay, let's see the next.
There is a sinichut of two between here. Vayichalo vayitpalel.
Okay.
Vayitpalel mitoch ka'as.
Ah, very good.
So
it can't be.
It's not rachamim.
It's not a bakosho shel rachamim. If a person is in the matziv of kas, you're saying you can't ask for rachamim. I mean, why not? I mean, I hear what you're saying. A person who's angry, rachamim is where a person is a gzeir upon a person, and you're asking to have it removed. Rachamim. Take away the harshness. So if a person, you're saying that a person is angry, it's not going to go off well. It's not gonna. If you go to the melech and you ask for rachamim when you're in a matzav, a frame of mind, your whole attitude is kas. It's not gonna work. So therefore, you say you can't be rachamim. It has to be. It was a demand.
Forgive me
for what I'm about to do, Father. Forgive me. I'm about to murder someone. Go to the confessional booth. I want forgiveness. What?
He's making tiny stuff because based on your standards, this doesn't work.
Okay, so this is. Let's see, what's the one more Rabbi Nubachia? Apostle Gimel and Dal. We didn't do Dal, we'll just do the Bachia anyway. Very short. Lefi shata misnachem al hara, being that you forgive. Ash ala rasha dibarta, alan she ninde harishoim shlohaisa. We have turned the page. Shlohaisa teshuvasam on page 441. Shlohaisa teshuvasam lichvaydecha. Dichiyav tani vigazarti alai lava lachem bishlichuscha. Vinimsa ani kazvan beinehem bidvarai. Hashem, you made me look bad. Okay, he has a whole new twist over here. Hashem, you set me up for failure. Okay, this is a new idea. They always talk about this in the chinuch books, in the magazine articles about proper parenting and chinuch habanim. Never, ever set up a child to fail. Okay, cardinal sin in chinuch. If you know a student is not going to be able to handle what you're about to put upon him, so you're setting him up to fail. And that can have a massive, a major psychological damage to a delicate, not every child is so delicate. There are some children that are way too macho, way too much self-confidence, but there are some very delicate children out there. You never want to take the risk. You never, ever set up someone to fail. Don't create an environment where there's no way a child can reach that goal and he will thus be very disappointed and hurt. Yonah is saying to Hashem, you set me up to fail. You told me to tell them that Nineveh will be destroyed. And you knew it's a lie. You knew it's not going to be destroyed. You knew that you knew they're going to do teshuvah to some degree and you're going to forgive them. So basically, you're making me look bad. And I don't like that. I don't want to be that person who was made to look bad. He's not going with guilt. Okay, he's not learning like the Malbim. Oh, how could I have been the one? How could I have been the one that brought about their exile? He's not learning like Rashi. I'm a liar. They're gonna label me as a liar. Okay, that's different. He's saying here, you're setting me up. You're being mevazen. Different than Rashi. It's different than what? Yeah, everyone here is very. You're setting me up. You're setting me up to fail. You know, this is very scary stuff we're learning today over here. You're shocking that we should say these psukim on Yom Kippur right before they close the gates to mention such harsh accusations that man has against the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what's going on over here. So the gezarit yelai love elcham b'shlichuscha v'nim sani kazban. You thought Eev was harsh, okay? We learn Eev. I think to a certain degree, Yonah makes Eev look like a like a tzaddik.
So you come to Yom Kippur, you're
going to
accuse God.
Yeah, it's Yom Kippur is a very realistic day. See, we unfortunately that's our nature is we whitewash everything. We whitewash everything is just. You know, everything is good. Life is a lot more complex than it seems. And everything is good, everything is fine, and we brush everything under the carpet. That's not the world of reality. The world of reality is a very, very different world. And when you look at the commentators of Yonah, it's a very different story. It's a very different story than just, you know, oh, Yonah, yeah, he went to Nineveh, he told him to Tshuva, wow, happily, live happily ever after, everything is fine and good. And the Iker is, I got Mafter Yonah. Mm. My legacy is, I got Mafter Yonah. That's not what Yonah is. Yonah is serious business. It's challenging the fundamentals. It's challenging, it's a challenge to Hashem. Yonah here is challenging the Ribbono Shel Olam. What are you doing? What have you done to me? What have you done to us? Where are we?
That's why, like what I said, what Ari Kaplan believes is, as long as you're still screaming it,
it's good.
You have a relationship. If you say, you know, I can't talk anymore, you lose hope and faith, then we got a problem.
Everyone has tainus on Hashem. I want to be sure. Avraham Shur. He once spoke for us here. Everyone has tainus on Hashem. No one's walking around here and giving Hashem a free pass. It's a mitzvah. That's what you're in this world for. Everyone has tainus. It's not fair. There's something.
What it means, you still believe I have control.
And the nesoyin of life is to have emuna. Is to work with that complaint and to grow from it. To grow from it. And it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not. I saw yesterday, Rabbi Max. I told you that. I had a very second amount of conversation with him since someone tried to murder him. Okay, since someone tried to murder him and take down with him another 11 people, a Meshuggah, a Russia, Marusha. And it's amazing. He's just the guy, he's the rabbi, he's just amazing. The emuna he has. Like, he's really sincere. Like he says, there's a din, there's a dayan, called the Ovid Rachmana, Litav Ovid. He lost everything. He came to Yeshiva, the Shacharis, that day. They burned down and they tried to kill him at 4 o'clock in the morning. He was at davening at 7:30 in the Yeshiva, and he came there with nothing. Doesn't have a credit card. Doesn't have a license, a driver's license and identification. Till he had. But he does this. He wasn't even wearing his clothing. He had to borrow clothing. He's wearing pajamas in the middle of the night. He doesn't have a thing, not a thing left. And he comes in and he's able to say, "There's a din. There's a dayon called the Ovid Rachmana Litav Ovid." Baruch Hashem, I'm alive, everyone is okay, everyone is healthy. And like, we look at him like, you're from another world. How do you deal with this? How do you deal with this? The average person, just the fact someone trying to kill you, you need a therapy for months just to get over that. And just for the fact that the person loses everything without someone trying to kill you, and all of your prized possessions, I mean, he had kesavim. He wrote Chidushei Torah for his whole life. Gone. He had these very valuable paintings from his grandparents in his house. I mean, he had everything. Can you imagine? He has wedding pictures, wedding album. He had his children's. You just think what you have in your house. Gone. Completely gone. And you're able to come to daven to Hashem 3 hours later, and to daven, and to close your eyes and say Shemona Esrei. And everyone is looking at you and to say, it's okay. There's a din, there's a dayan called the Ovid Rachmana Litav Ovid. And he says it with sincerity. You got it, you know, it's hard, you gotta see it to believe it. And I'm like, wow. Wow. It's like really, really, really hard to believe. But that's the struggle of life. That's it. Yon over here is making these very harsh complaints. Going to each one of the first turn over here quickly. Over here, he says, "Meza aroya aniki toy meis mechayv akosh baruch chizik atamad azeb biyadoi." The amaloi. Okay, then he goes on to the next part. We did not yet do yet. Hashem says, "You're right." Okay, so we have to really wait for that. We'll wait for that till tomorrow. Later on, Hashem says, Hashem validates everything Yonah, which is very satisfying. And maybe that's really the ultimate reason why we say this on Yom Kippur, because Hashem later on says, "You're right." That pasuk is a very satisfying pasuk. Hashem says, I know your struggles, I acknowledge your struggles, and you're right, you have what to complain about, but you still have to work on it. There's still more you don't know.